Now we're turning for a scripture reading tonight to the book of Job, please. Job chapter 38, and we're going to read from the first verse of this chapter. The book of Job, chapter 38, and reading from verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut up the sea with doors, when it brake forth, as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, Hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud waves be spared. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the day spring to know his place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it? It is turned as clay to the seal, and they stand as a garment. And from the wicked their light is withholden, and the high arm shall be broken. Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea? Or hast thou walked in the search of the depth? Have the gates of death been opened unto thee? Or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth? Declare, if thou knowest it all. Where is the way where light dwelleth? And as for darkness, where is the place thereof, that thou shouldest take it to the bound thereof, and that thou shouldest know the path to the house thereof? Knowest thou it, because thou wast then born, or because the number of thy days is great? Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war? By what way is the light parted, which scattereth the east wind from the earth upon the earth? Who hath divided a watercourse for the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightning of thunder, to cause it to rain on the earth where no man is, on the wilderness wherein there is no man, to satisfy the desolate and waste ground, and to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth? Hath the rain a father, or who hath begotten the drops of dew, out of whose womb came the ice and the hoary frost of heaven? Who hath gendered it? The waters are hid as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in a season, and canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Knowest thou the ordinance of heaven? Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? Canst thou lift up thy voice to the clouds, that abundance of waters may cover thee? Canst thou send lightnings, that they may go and say unto thee, Here we are? Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts, or who hath given understanding to the heart? Who can number the clouds in wisdom, or who can stay the battles of heaven? When the dust groweth into hardness, and the clods cleave fast together, wilt thou hunt the prey for the lion, or fill the appetite of the young lions, when they couch in their dens and abide in the covert to lie and wait? Who hath provided for the ravenous food, when his young ones cry unto God? They wander for lack of meat. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. Can we unite us afresh in a word of prayer? Our gracious God and our loving Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy presence already in our meeting. We thank thee for the singing of these great old hymns of Zion. And our God, we thank Thee for the fact that our Savior goes into the highways and goes into the mountains to find the sheep that was lost. And our God, we pray tonight for lost sheep. We pray, our God, that Thou would speak to those that are lost. Thou didst come to seek and to seal that which is lost. So our God, we pray for Thy help and blessing upon the preaching of Thy word tonight. But in Jesus' precious name, we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Verse 17 says, "Have the gates of death been opened unto thee, or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death?" I'm sure that most of you know the story of the book of Job, how Job suffered grievous loss in his life. He lost his children, he lost his wealth, and he lost his health. And the whole book centers upon Job and his friends as they try to explain this loss. And they didn't make much of a job of their explanations. And at the end of the book, God steps in and he begins to deal with them. And the Lord begins to speak to them and get them to realize that they really don't know anything at the end of the day. And he does that by a series of questions that we have read in this portion of Scripture and indeed on into the book. "Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea?" He said to them. "Canst thou walk in the search of the depths?" And then again, "Hast thou perceived the breadth of the earth?" And of course, the answer that Job and his friends had to give to every one of those questions was no. They hadn't understood these things. They hadn't perceived these things. They hadn't experienced these things. But God had. God had. And there they were philosophizing. And while we say that they didn't make a much of a job, really, of explaining the troubles and the trials of Job, we have to say at the same time, they were very wise men. Here they were at the very dawn of time almost. And they would put modern philosophers to shame in the things that they said and in the wisdom that they displayed. But God was reminding them that with all their wisdom and with all their understanding, there are many things that they didn't know. And there are still many things that men don't know. And you know, that is something that frightens people. It frightens people to think that they are not in control. We like to think that we have covered everything and all the bases are covered and we've made provision for every type of eventuality. The unknown is something that quite frankly frightens us. And I want to remind you tonight of something that is still unknown. "Have the gates of death been opened unto thee," he says, "or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death?" And the answer that Job and his friends had to give right at the early years of this earth was to that they had never seen or had the gates of death been opened unto them. And here in the 21st century, the answer to that question is still the same. We don't know much about death. In fact, it is a subject that quite often people avoid. But I want to face it tonight, because we need to face it. It's no good putting your head in the sand. It's no good trying to cover over things, because this is something that we have to face. This is something that we must face up to in our meeting tonight. Where are the gates of death? You know, that's a peculiar expression, but it is used a number of times in the Bible. In Psalm 9 and Psalm 107, it also speaks about the gates of death. We want to look at what the Bible says about the gates of death. We want to learn about them tonight. And we want to know what they're all about. Where are the gates of death? And what happens when we go through them? Now, first of all, I want us to look at the mystery of the gates. Because there are many things that we don't know about the gates of death. There are few people that have ever returned from beyond those gates. The only ones that have ever come back were the ones that the Lord Jesus raised from the dead by the power of God, or other of his prophets or apostles raised from the dead. But isn't it significant that the Bible never records anything of them saying what it was like? I think if I had ever met Lazarus or the widow of Nain's son or Dorcas or any of those people that had been raised from the dead, I think the first question that I might have asked them was it like? What happened when you went? How was it when your soul was separated from your body? Or where was it that you went to and all the rest? And I can't believe that somebody didn't ask them that question. I think that I would have asked it. Wouldn't you have asked it? But if somebody did ask them it, what I do see is that the Holy Spirit of God never records the answer. And there are things that God holds in a mystery. There are things that we don't understand, and we do not have a record in the Bible of what exactly it was like to die. Now, we know about the rich man that died and went to hell, and we get some indication of these things. But we don't know what it was like for him actually to have the soul separated from the body. That's not something that is recorded for us. Now, there are many things that people know about death today. The doctor can come and tell you when he'll not tell you when you've died, but he'll tell other people when you have died. And they have all sorts of machines, and they can take the temperature of the body, and they can tell you when you died. And they have the monitors for the life functions, and all sorts of monitors that they have. And we know all sorts of things about death today, but we don't know what it is for the immortal soul to be severed from the mortal body. We have watched others, perhaps, going through that process. But then the gates are shut, and beyond those gates, there's a secret that we know nothing about, and there's a barrier that we cannot cross. Now, I know that there are those that profess that they can speak to those beyond the grave, the mediums, and these such persons that come, but they're meddling in something that God has drawn a barrier across, and they are either frauds or communicators with demons. And so the gates of death tonight present to us something of a mystery. But while I say that there's a mystery about the gates of death, I also say there's a reality. And I don't need to tell you that. The gates of death are real. There's a time when each one of us must go that way and pass beyond the gates. And there will be a time in the case of every one of us when we will make that journey, and we will do that except the Lord come first. And we've only got to look at the row of stones in the graveyard to know that that is true. And you only have to look at the columns in the local paper, in the obituary columns, to know the lists of people that have passed out into God's eternity. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. I don't need to tell you that. You know that. You know that. The thing is, we don't know when it will be. We don't know when it will happen. We don't know how it will happen. It might be an accident. It might be that we have a deathbed. It might be some illness. It may be some attack that we have. But millions today have already gone through the gates of death. And there's coming a day when we too must join them. There's coming a day when we will know exactly what it means to go through the gates of death. And the Bible says that we will go there because of sin. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, and the reason why we die is that we are sinners, and that the curse was put upon us when Adam died, or when Adam sinned in the transgression. Sin came, and the reason why we die is because of sin. And the reality of death points us to another reality. It's the reality that we're sinners. And every time you see a hearse passing by, it is a testimony to the fact that man is a sinner, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But dear friend, if you die outside of Christ, not only will you suffer physical death, but you will suffer eternal death. You'll be cut off from God for all eternity. And tell me, how can you face death in your sin? How can you face death in your sin? Are you not afraid to die? Are you not afraid to go out of this scene of time? To go out into that road and have someone dash out in front of you and maybe be in an accident? Oh, dear friend, we need to realize the reality of the fact of death. But there's also a mystery. Also a mystery. But not only do we see the mystery of the gates, but I want you to think of the meaning of the gates. Now, we've said that this is a phrase that occurs three times in the Old Testament. But when you think of gates, the natural thing to think of is that it's an entrance into something. You don't put gates at a dead end. It's an entrance into something. Have you ever thought about that? That the gates of death open up to something. There's something beyond death. It lets me know that death is not the end. Some people say that you just put into the grave and that's the end of it. But the Bible speaks about the gates of death. And the Bible tells us that the soul lives on. And there are two places it can live on. It'll live on in either in heaven with the Lord or in hell without the Lord. There's two places where the soul can go. God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul, an eternal soul. So you must go somewhere. And we think here of the gates of death, and it speaks about an entrance into eternity. And when you are entering something and the gates are there, usually gates or doors are something that shut people in and shut others out. And that's the same with the gates of death. For one thing, the gates of death close on time and open to eternity. And you cannot come back through the gates of death. When you go into God's eternity, there's no way back. Sometimes you see the little notice, or used to see the little notices around the countryside, and they bore the legend, eternity where? It's a good question. It's a good question. Where will you spend eternity? Because when you go through the gates of death, that is the place where you will spend eternity. Eternity. And my, you can't come back. I remember sitting with a father whose young child had passed through the gates of death. And I tell you, if that father could have snatched or plucked his child from the jaws of death, he would have done it. I spoke to the mother, and the mother could hardly know that it was there, never mind speak to me. And if she could have plucked her child from the jaws of death, she would have done it, but she couldn't. She couldn't do it. And when that child had given its last breath, it went through the gates of death, and there was no coming back. The gates of death close to time, and they open to eternity. But the gates of death do something else. They close on our plans, and they open on our consequences. Maybe you say, preacher, I haven't time to be saved. I have so many things to do, and so many plans to fulfill, and so many purposes that I have. I haven't time to be saved. When death comes, all your plans and all your purposes will come to a stop. Because death is not a comma, it's a full stop. And it's just not the end of the chapter, but the book is closed, and it's the end of the book, and that's it. Death finishes it all. You down tools at the gates of death. The architect will lay down his pencil. He might have hundreds of plans to draw, but he'll not draw one of them beyond the gates of death. The carpenter may have a lot of joinery to do, and there may be a big lot of wood on this bench, and he has to cut and size and plane and do all the rest of it, and he's going to form it into pieces of furniture he's making. But when death comes, the plane will be still, and the saw will be still, and the chisel will be still, and that will be an end of it. The farmer may have a batch of cattle to get ready to the market, or a shed to be built. But he'll not be worried about his cattle beyond the gates of death. The preacher may come and he may preach many sermons, and he reads the portion and he announces the text. And the flock will gather to the meeting house to hear the word of God as he preaches the sermon. But though many may gather after he has gone, and many may want to hear the living voice of the preacher, the living voice of the preacher is gone. His job is done. The last invitation has been given. The last sermon has been preached. The last amen has been pronounced. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last.
And man and woman, you will leave your plans behind you. You will face the consequences of your plans. You will face the consequences of your scheming and your planning and your laying out of your path, and you've laid out a path that's not going to happen. We think of the rich farmer that the Lord spoke about. You know, he had a great harvest and he thought he would build big barns and he would lay up for himself for many years. But the Lord came that night and said, "Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee." And that rich farmer had forgotten about God and all his plans and all his business. He had forgotten about God. Have you? Where's God in your plans? Where's God in your life? Then something else, the gates of death will close on pleasure and open on punishment. The philosophy of the rich farmer that we were speaking about there was, "Let us eat and drink and be merry." It's the same philosophy that millions of people have today. Millions of pounds are spent every year in the bars and in the clubs and in the discos and in the dance halls. And you know what the pleasure of the world is for? It's to block out reality. You ever think of that? Well, what do they have pleasure in? The drink. They smoke cigarettes. They go for drugs. What does it do? It blocks out reality. And then they go to the dance and the disco. And the music is so loud you can hardly hear your ears. And it's deliberate. That's the idea. Because they don't want you to think. It's a place where all thoughts are put aside. But after death, you're not going to be able to escape a reality. The Bible says in Luke chapter 16 about a man who had great pleasure and great luxury in his life. And it says a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But then it goes on, the rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. He couldn't even get a drop of water to cool his tongue in those flames. All the pleasures were over. For all eternity they were over. And if you want pleasures, dear friend, in God's presence there's fullness of joy. And at His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Forevermore. The gates of death, they will close on pleasure. They will open on punishment. Something else, the gates of death will close on opportunity and they'll open on accountability. The most solemn thing about the gates of death is that when the gates of death close and clang shut, that's the end of the day of opportunity. Today, you probably have hundreds of opportunities to hear the gospel. But you'll not have one after you die. You have thousands of opportunities to get converted. Not a one after you die. You have hundreds of Sabbaths to go to gospel meetings. Not a one after you die. I've been at funerals of unsaved people. That I've been in meetings that I have preached the gospel in. And as far as we can understand, that coffin has been lowered into the ground without hope. I tell you, I have preached even at some of those funerals. And you preach to the living. But as far as the one in the coffin is concerned, you could shout your loudest and never hear. You could give as many invitations as you like, they'll never respond. You could say, "Come to Christ, repent of your sins, put your trust in the Lord," but it's too late. Death ends the day of grace. There's not one spark of light. As far as the gospel is concerned, when you go through the gates of death without the Savior, the Bible says, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still." Tell me, sinner, if you die tonight, what are you going to be in eternity? It's a dangerous thing to reject Christ and stand at the gates of death with no hope. So we see the meaning of the gates of death. But one more thing, could we think of the message of the gates of death? You know, at the death of the king or the queen, there's usually a message hung on the gates of Buckingham Palace. When the king, the last king, died, they had a message: the king has died. Long live the queen. Well, I want to tell you there's a message on the gates of death for you. And what is the message? It's prepare. Prepare. You see, there are two abodes, as we said, beyond death. There is eternal rest for the saved. There's eternal retribution for the lost. And surely as we face the gates of death, the message to you must be, prepare. Prepare. You say, how do I do that? Well, the gospel has the answer. We said earlier in the message that the reason for death is sin, and sin is something that can never be allowed into heaven. So the only way to get into the place and to have the rest that we're speaking about is to have your sins dealt with. They've got to be washed away. There's got to be no trace of them. They've got to be covered over. But thank God the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary and shed his own blood that we might have our sins covered over and cleansed. And the Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, the Bible speaks of the judgment beyond death. But every sinner who stands before God, washed in the precious blood of the Lamb, will have a royal pardon. We will have an advocate who will speak for us. And he will say, that man there, that woman, that boy or that girl, they're covered in the precious blood. I plead my blood, and that's an infallible argument. Thank God you're set free when you're under the blood. But if you're not prepared, and you're not under the blood, and you stand before God, every sin that you've ever committed will plead before you and point the finger and say, guilty! And you may try to hide, but you can't hide. And you may try to turn away, but you can't turn away. And you may try to make excuse. You'll not be able to make excuse, for your mouth will be stopped. You know, in the olden days, when a judge uttered the capital sentence, the death sentence, they used to put a little black cap upon his head, and then the judge would say, you've been found guilty of capital murder. You'll be taken from this court to a certain prison, and then on a certain day at a certain hour, you'll be taken and hanged by the neck until you are dead. Well, one day the Lord will put on the black cap for you. Someday the Lord will say, depart from me, I never knew you. And the angels will say, amen. And the saints will say, amen. And the Father and the Holy Ghost will say, amen. But it was to save you from that verdict that our Savior shed his blood and died on the cross. And what you need to do, dear sinner, tonight is come. What you need to do is repent. What you need to do is trust the Savior. Oh, come, sinner, come. Oh, why should you delay? The striking invitation is that you should come today. Tomorrow has no promise that it can give to you. Tomorrow is eternity, just hidden from your view. Oh, come, sinner, come, accept the proffered grace, for death may soon be calling you into her cold embrace. The harvest will be ended. The summer will be past. Your lamentation then will be, my soul is lost at last. Lost. do not be afraid. Hasten to the cross. Heed the message of the gates of death and be saved by His grace. Let us bow, please, in a word of prayer. And oh, if you are not saved, heed the warning. Heed the warning. Take the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight. Where will you go when you go through the gates of death? Eternity. Eternity. Oh, where will you spend eternity? Dear friend, as your head is bowed, and everybody speak to us, come and speak to us. Maybe it's still not clear. Get it clear. And we'll help you in any way that you can. If you did pray, speak to us too. Let us know that we can rejoice with you that you're saved by His grace. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we thank Thee for the warning. Lord, this is a solemn subject again, but Lord, we very often are so taken up with the things of the world that we never think of the solemn things. So God, we pray that we might think tonight and turn by Thy grace and by Thy power. Save souls. Save souls by Thy grace. For Jesus' sake, amen.